be here. I spend my week in Washington, D.C. For work, and boy, they crazy up there. And it's just good to be in the house of the Lord, back with people that you know and love and trust, and people who you know are doing their best to satisfy God. So I'm just excited to be back home. Glad that God gave me safe travel to and from, and glad just to be back home. When I looked at my kids, I thought they had grown like 6 or 7 inches. Have you ever done that before? Okay, left your kids for about 4 or 5 days, came back and like, man, is that my child? Yeah, my son was speaking in bigger sentences and everything. I was like, man, it's good to be home. So it's good to see you all and to be back in God's house. If you would, please sing with me. I keep falling in love with him over and over and Lord, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. Yes, and he gets sweeter and as the days go. Oh, between my Savior and keep on falling him over, over and over and over again. And he keeps blessing me and over and over and over. God just keeps on blessing me and over and over and over. Yes, he gets sweeter as the days go. Oh, what a between my Savior and keep on falling with him over and over and over and over again. And he keeps cleansing me and over and over over again. God just keeps on cleansing me and over and over and over. Oh, he gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Yes, I keep falling with him over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over. Yes, he gets sweeter as the days go. Oh, what a between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over. And he gets sweeter and the days go by. Oh, between my Savior keep falling with him over and over and over again. Church, say amen. Amen. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 36th chapter. And we start off this chapter. Moses is in, is up the mountain, spending time with God. And as he's up there, the people get anxious. And they ask God, or they ask Aaron to make them a golden calf. And Aaron takes all the gold in the village, all the gold amongst the people, and he burns it, and he turns into a golden calf and makes them a god to worship, a golden god to worship. And God is upset about it, and he told Moses, he said, I'm gonna get your people. And Moses said, wait a minute, Lord, wait, don't act so quickly. Let me see what I can do. So Moses comes back down, And when he comes down, he sees that the people are worshiping these idol gods and worshiping this golden calf. And Moses is disappointed with the people. And then in verse 26, he says to them, he says, if my Bible will open, I'll tell you what he says. He says, then Moses stood at the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up a topic. Pick a side. Now, this is a sobering message, but it's so real. And I really want you to understand how important it is that you pick a side. See, we spend a lot of our lives living in the gray. We're not black or white. We just live in the gray. We try our best to kind of be for God and be against God. We try to satisfy our own worldly lust and try to be righteous. And what I'm telling you is that it's impossible. You have to decide who you want to be with. You have to decide if you want to be on God's side. Too many of us straddle the fence when it comes to God. We want to live in the gray. As a matter of fact, there's a song written, a Christian song written by Jonathan McReynolds, and it's called No Gray. And the lyrics are, Lord, I'm split in two. Part of me loves the world and the other loves you. Lord, what I do? What should I do? I want to be saved, but I try to be cool too. And I'm not a fool. I know eventually I'm going to have to choose, because I don't want to lose my ticket into heaven and a chance to be used by you. So if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. I can't have my cake and eat it too. Y'all follow me? If you want to be a And I'm wondering, I'm looking around and I think about our churches and I wonder why we can't save the world and I wonder why we can't evangelize and I wonder why we struggle so much, and I come to the conclusion that many times the reason why we struggle is because we have not stand firm on one side or the other. You got to pick a side. We want to have our cake and eat too. Let me tell you, you can't have your cake and eat too. Where's PJ? Come in, PJ. Y'all see this? These are little mini brownies. Some of y'all looking like, I don't see this. These are little mini brownies. We're going, for the sake of this illustration, we're going to call it cake. Y'all follow me? Because my daughter, when I told her, I said, I was explaining to her a while back about cake and eat it too. She didn't really understand what I mean. Now, take one of them out. Just one. Don't eat them all, PJ. Hey, for tomorrow. Hold that up. Y'all see that? What is that? A brownie. Y'all follow me? Now, PJ has cake. Got it? Eat it. See how joyful it was? Now hold your hand up, PJ. Does PJ have cake? He has cake. Y'all follow me? So PJ cannot hold on to his cake and eat his cake. He has to make a decision. Do I want to have cake or eat cake? Y'all follow me? The same when it comes to the body of Christ. We have to decide, do I want to be with God or not? I'm just trying to help. Here's something to wash that down. Look, a priest son, do that. Don't drink it in the auditorium, because we don't eat it here. But the idea is that you better decide what you want to do, because you cannot have your cake and eat it too. We are killing our ability to be effective in our community, to be effective on our jobs, and to be effective in our homes. And the reason why we're killing our ability is because we want to have it both ways. I'm trying to, I just want you to understand, at some point, you're going to have to choose. Some of y'all say, I already chose, Brother Mason. Kinda, right? Yeah, and you know, the reason why I say that is because it's inconsistent. Right? You say you've chosen, but you don't do the things that chosen people do. So really, you just kind of splitting it. Anybody ever play double dutch? My sister used to be good in double dutch. Anybody know what double dutch is? Now, the secret to double dutch is you got to be able to go two ways. And before you get into double dutch, my sister, they used to do it like this. Two ropes. And you can't get hit by either one of the ropes. And before she would get started on double dutch, even before she started jump, she would do this. And then she'd jump in. You see what I'm saying? She couldn't be on one side or the other. She had to choose, right? And that's how we live in our life. We're trying to figure out. We're going back from one thing to the other. We have to stand up, speak up, and live up to our calling as Christians. Amen. So some of you saying, well, that's a good thing, Brother Mace. I really do believe that's true. Just tell me, how do I do that? Here we go. Take out your notes. First thing you got to do, if you want to be on God's side, you got to be done with the world's side. I'm going to say that again. If you want to be on God's side, you got to be done with the world's side. You got to actually decide, I don't want anything to do with that. Now, the reason why you're quiet right now, I get it, is because some of you are trying to make that choice right now. And you're thinking to yourself, man, do I really want to be on God's side? Do I really want to be done with everything that's in the world? And you're having trouble. And you've been having trouble for a long time, but I'm telling you, it's impossible for you to be on God's side and still be involved in the world's side. Amen. What does that mean? See, it says, when we give in to the pressure of the world and the things that society emphasizes, like materialism, we're on God's on the world's side. The children of Israel wanted a golden calf, so they made one. Yeah. Hold on, move this. They wanted something that they could see. They wanted a God that they could see, so they made a golden calf. Just like you and I, we want something, we want a God we can see, so we spend all of our time trying to make money, trying to see hard cash, trying to make sure we look like somebody that's deserving of something. We want our tails off to look like we somebody. Listen. Time or an inordinate amount of your time is spent doing the things that allow you to be able to look like you somebody in the world, then more than likely you're still on the world side. I'm not saying that you cannot have things. I'm not saying that it's anything wrong with money. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a nice house or a car or whatever that is. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when that becomes your possible for you to focus on those things and on God. It's just impossible, y'all. Have anybody ever been to the optometrist? Or when they put that little thing on your face, right, they put it right by your eyes, they say, focus on line 26. Now, if you start looking through that little machine and focusing on line, and they say, focus on line 26, and you start reading line 27, you about to get glasses. Yeah, and if you read, and in a minute they're going to start saying, wait a minute, you need surgery. Because you're focusing on the wrong thing. It's impossible for you to read line 26 if you're on line 27. Y'all follow me? You got to focus on the right things in order to be on God's side. Amen. A man's life doesn't consist of, Luke 12, 15 says, a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. What is Luke trying to help us understand? All that stuff that you got, or that you want, or you believe that you need, don't matter. There was a man who died, I think it was Carnegie. And Carnegie died, as the story goes, that when Carnegie died, a man came and looked at his body at his funeral. And when he was looking down at the body, he said, man, all of it. All of that stuff don't matter. You better pick a side. Not only do you have to be done with the world side, you need to be done with yourself. Amen. This is the hard part. This is what we really struggle with. God said in Exodus 32:9, he said, he looked at the people and he said, they were stiff-necked people, which means they were hard-hearted, obstinate. They were going their own way. They were self-reliant. And God was upset with the people because they thought that they can do something better than God. They thought that they can build something and worship something. Their hearts had decided that they were going to be all right as long as they depended on themselves. If you're dependent on yourself, you're in trouble. We believe that we can manage ourselves in any situation. Some of us sit in and we just struggle. We can't figure out why we can't get over this boss. Can't figure out why we can't do these things right. And the reason why is because you keep on trying to trust in yourself to figure it out. If you want to be on God's side, not only do you have to get off the world side and stop worrying about the things that don't matter, all of the material mess, you also got to stop worrying about yourself and put so much confidence in yourself. You can't do nothing without God. It's a bad formula. I promise you, if you try to solve anything without God, you are setting yourself up to fail. Let me tell you, I want you to listen carefully, because when I say you can't do nothing without God, some of y'all say, well, what you mean? Here we go. You can't solve a problem, have a successful marriage, raise kids, breathe. Well, now you might have said to yourself, well, you know, you might have said, well, I'm doing just fine. If you're doing fine, it's because God has allowed you to. Don't get it twisted. What Beyonce say, y'all, don't play yourself. Don't get it twisted. You can't do it without God. If you did it, it's because God allowed it. How do I know that's true? Because the Bible says all good and perfect gifts from God. See, in the Bible, I said most good and perfect gifts. Yeah, I might be able to say, well, maybe you did something. But the Bible says all, that's a final term, meaning everything. Everything comes from God. Care how smart you are, how much money you make. You can be smart, but if you ain't healthy, it don't matter. God gave you that. I'm trying to help somebody today. All good, perfect. If God doesn't give it, you don't get it. So in order for you to pick this side, you better decide, I'm just kind of done with me. I just want to be done with myself. I need to stop loving Darwin so much. I need to stop giving Darwin so much credit. I need to stop saying, oh, I worked hard to do it. The reason why I was able to do it is because God gave it to me. God gave me the strength, he gave me the intellect, he gave me the health, he gave me everything, energy, everything I need to be able to accomplish anything else, so it's only right that I give it back to him. And I know, the world has got you all, I got us all messed up, because everything that we do is about celebrating ourselves. I get it. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, resume. Don't nobody ever ask you on your resume. When you write down your resume, nobody ever puts on there, by the grace of God. I see resumes all the time. The world has got us to believe that in order for us to accomplish a task, what we got to do is put up what we're able to do. Be very smart. It will be who of you to recognize that even the things that you're able to do is because God allowed you to. Humble yourself. I love that because it's a very, very specific formula. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Watch this. What's your job? Humble. Stop thinking so much of yourself. Then the Bible says, he will lift you up. If he is going to lift you up, that means that he has the power to lift you up. He can't lift you up if he don't have the power. And because it says he will lift you up, that means the adverse is that you can't lift you up. He's the only one that can do it. Amen. Not only do you got to be done with yourself, you got to be done with sin. There's sins referred to. You say, you have They have a great sin against me. Come here. All right, now, Chad, put this shirt on. I need to put this shirt on. I want you to stand right there in the middle. Now, because our sin, we struggle with our sin, don't we? Oh, shoot.
We don't struggle with our sin.
I said, don't we? Y'all say, I don't know what you're talking about. That lie you just told yourself. Now, we struggle with our sin, and we will blame our sin on situations. We will blame our sin on evil environments and weakness. We'll even blame our sin on God. But the Bible tells it in James that God can't be tempted. If you were sinning, you were sinning because you were carried away for your own lust. What does that mean? If it's your lust, then you got the ability to God to get it fixed. Amen. See, watch this. You see this? I told you the song said, I'm split in two. This is Trey, right? Watch this. Trey is or should be a Christian. Y'all see that? That's what that say, Christian. For some of y'all who eyes might be struggling a little bit. It's okay. I'm going to talk you through it. It says Christian, which means that if Trey is whole heart is a Christian, then he's split in two. Y'all follow me? But that's not really what happens. What really happens is that we're not Christians. We are Christ. Not Christians, but we create sins. Because part of us want to be like Christ, the other half want to be like the world. So we're not Christians, we're Christians. Because what we made up is a little Christ and a little sin. And what happens is when we got the sin in our life, we can't get it all right. What happens is, it's real simple. When you are a Christian, I left that tape, Eric, I need you to get that tape. That's okay, don't worry about it. When you are a Christian, when you are supposed to be a Christian, what happens is you got hold this. Love should be there. You should be holy. You should have peace. You should have some joy. You should be prayerful. Put that right there. Y'all follow me? But when you Christian, don't worry about it, I got it. When you Christian, what happens is desire takes over all of that. Pride. Lust takes over all of that. Y'all follow me? You can't be split in two and please God. If you want to pick a side, you got to get your sin under control. Y'all still here? That took a lot of energy. I've been thinking about that all day. Okay, go ahead. You just stay right there for a minute.
That's the problem
that we have in our life. We are too busy trying to, we can't pick a side. We can't be on God's side. And the reason why we can't be on God's side is because we're still struggling with our own, the world side, the material junk that they got. We're struggling with ourselves and we're struggling with our sin. Let me help you, because it's going to get to the invitation. Just a second. If you're struggling with sin, the best thing you can do is acknowledge it first. I love when you think about the way that you respond if you deal with addiction. Because if you're dealing with any kind of addiction, which every last one of us are, if you're dealing with any kind of addiction, we all are, the way that you deal with addiction, the first thing you have to do is say, my name is Darwin, and I am a whatever that is. But what happens in the church is that we sit here,
both feet on the ground, and we look around at everybody else, trying to decide who's sinning.
Let me help you with this real quick. Everybody, go ahead, turn to your left. Go ahead. Turn to your right. Look in front of you. Turn behind you. All the people sinning. Everybody's struggling with it. But guess what? That ain't your business. What you need to be doing is figuring out, instead of looking this way, you need to be looking in and say, what do I need to fix? My name is Darwin and I'm a sinner. And I can't pick a side because I'm enjoying my sin too much. God can't use me like he needs to use me because I just like to do the stuff that I know God don't like. I like to do this. I like to drink. I like to smoke. I like whatever it is. I like to lie. I watch pornography. I like other women, whatever it is. Some of y'all feel real good because I didn't call out your sin. What? Thank you, Trey. In order for us on God's side and pick the right side, we got to get rid of our sin. You just got to pick a side, y'all. Well, we almost done because I'm tired anyway. We almost done. How do you pick a side? I'm glad you asked.
First thing you got to do,
you got to accept the invitation. Walked into the room and he said, who is on God's side? Who is on God's side? And then the Levites got up, they responded. They said, yeah, just like Moses said an invitation, God says the same thing. He said, Moses said, who's on God's side? Come with me. Well, God said the same thing in Matthew 11. He said, come unto me, all you that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Just like Moses was God's representative then, Jesus is God's representative now. No man cometh to the Father except by me, is what Jesus says. So if you want to get rid of your sin, if you want to get on God's side, you need to accept the invitation. Amen. Not only do you need to accept the invitation, you got to stand up. And I'm not dealing with people outside the body right now. I'm talking to you. All of us is in the church. I'm not talking about the invitation of the gospel, not yet. I'm talking about the invitation to serve. Stand up. They said they had to stand up and they had to side with the minority. But when you side with the minority, you become the majority. Because any man with God is the majority. We must be willing to stand alone if need be, just to get on God's side. Stand up. And then when you stand up, move towards God. All the Levi's sons got together and then they took one pace forward like volunteers in the army. When they took that place forward, they were saying to themselves, I not only am I going to tell you I'm on God's side, I'm going to accept this invitation, I'm going to stand up bold, and I'm going to walk towards God. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm saying it's some work that needs to be done.
Yes, sir.
Right here in the High Street Church of Christ. And the problem is people keep on saying, I accept the invitation. Well, if you accept the invitation, get up and move. It don't matter if you invite me. The other day, me and my wife got invited to a wedding. And they invited us and they said, please RSVP. Let us know you coming. And we sent it. We responded. And then the guy texted me later on. He said, I'm just trying to make sure you coming. I said, yeah, we coming. We accepted the invitation. But guess what? In order for us to really be there, we had to go there. Putting it back in the mail and saying, yeah, we coming. Cool, that sounds good. But in order for us to really be present at his wedding, we have to get up, get dressed, go and do something.
Amen.
We keep on talking about ministry. We keep on talking about saving people. We keep on talking about loving people. And every one of us sit here and say, yes, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I'll help you. Yes, Lord, I'll teach class on Wednesday. Yes, Lord, I'll help on Sunday. Yes, Lord, I'll do this. And then nobody moves. You accept nothing. Move. And when you move, what you're saying is that I'm on God's side. We said, wait a minute. I am on God's side. I just don't. If you ain't moving, you ain't on his side. Because you just can't get in your, you cannot get on God's theory. God requires you to do something. Be active in the service. You can't spell gospel without go. We 2 weeks away from a gospel meeting. And if we ain't careful, other people to be with us. And some of us ain't gonna come. We'll have every excuse in the world not to be there. We won't come. The Warriors playing on Monday. We won't
come.
And the reason why we...
Because
you got to go do something. If we really want to bring people to God, we got to get out and go do something. This building in 2 weeks should be full. We should have to cut TVs on in the back to make them watch it on TV virtually. We should have to stream it. That's just if everybody in here brings somebody. If the people don't hear the gospel, it's your fault. Come on, y'all. Can we be honest? If they don't hear the gospel, it's your fault. How in the world is it my fault, Brother Mason? Because you are what God left to get the gospel out. You got to do something. Or else, this is the thing. I know you don't want to hear it. You on the wrong side. You on the wrong side. You can't go into the world without gold. Pick a side, y'all. I'm done. But choose carefully. Listen. If you don't hear nothing I say, choose carefully. Because picking the wrong side is fatal. What you mean? Just keep on reading in Exodus 32. You keep on reading. When the Levite men got up, Moses said, go get your sword, and go kill all of them. Wait a minute. Bro, Jones, find that description. Right at verse 26, I think it's 27 through 29. Let me look. Let me get there so y'all won't think I'm making stuff up. I don't ever want that to be the case. All right, he says in verse 27, you got Brother Jones, you want me to read it? All right, we're going to let Brother Jones read it. Go ahead.
And he said to them,
uh-huh.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel,
yes, sir.
That every man put his sword on his side,
yeah,
and go in and out from entrance to entrance,
yeah,
throughout the camp,
uh-huh.
And let every man kill his brother,
yeah,
every man his companion,
yeah. Listen to that. He said, go out there, every man. Kill him. Keep going.
For the sons of Levi.
Who? Who did it? Wait. The sons of who?
The sons of Levi.
The sons of who?
The sons of
go back to verse 26. What did Moses say to him?
Then Moses stood at the entrance of the camp.
Yeah. And said what?
Whoever's on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Come to me.
Yeah.
And all the sons of Levi.
The sons of Levi. The only people that did. What are people who stood up? Y'all follow me? You better pick a side, choose, and choose carefully. Bible goes on and said, and then Moses went back up to the Lord and made atonement for their sin. I'm trying to help. I know you're quiet, but that's a good thing. Some mistakes, y'all, you can't afford to make. Help, listen. Oh, God. Some mistakes you just can't afford to make. The Bible says in Matthew 10, God, Jesus says, whoever confess me or acknowledges me before man, I acknowledge him in front of my Father. What is he saying? If you don't pick a God now, when it's time for you to go to heaven, I don't know you. Y'all, you're not hearing me. God is requiring you to pick a side.
Amen.
You just got to do it. Ain't no question. Choose correctly now, because hell is real.
Amen.
If you don't choose God now, there's going to come a time soon when you need to choose you. And if you don't choose him now because you was on the wrong side, it's going to come when he needs to choose. And he already told you, I ain't choosing you because you didn't choose me. And the Bible said if God don't choose you, it's a problem. You're going to have to go someplace where he is not. I need God to choose me. So I'm going to choose him first. We're playing these games out here. Acting like we Christian, acting like we love God, but steady more spending all our time doing stuff outside of what God does and just expect him to just show us so much grace and so much mercy that when the time to come for judgment, he going to say, I know that Darwin acted a total fool, but come on, man, I'm going to choose you anyway. The one thing that I know about God, he ain't lying. And if Jesus said, you won't choose me here, I ain't going to choose you. Don't you get up there expecting to get chosen. You got to do it. You got to choose him first. That's just for the people inside the body of Christ. Now, if you outside of the body, this is how you choose. First thing you got to do is hear the word of God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that all the power that they give him in Scripture is real. You have to believe that he is walking with you on a day. You got to believe that. And then once you believe it, you hear, believe, and then you got to confess. Just like the people in Exodus. Your confession is going to cause for you to do something. You're going to have to say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that and die for my sins. And you're going to have to make a move. You have to walk and say, Lord, I believe this. And then you got to repent of your sins. That means the stuff you're doing right now, you're going to get rid of. That means I'll be perfect, Brother Mason. Have y'all listened to the sermon? No, you ain't going to be perfect, but you're going to try real, real hard to be. And then be baptized. And when you baptize, God gives you access to his power. God allows you to be able to be raised up and to be a son of his. He allows you to be able to be protected by the blood. You got to do all, and you know what I'm saying? And when you do that, then you have officially chosen a side. And when you choose a side, and you choose the side that Christ is on, then you choose an eternal life. But when you stay on the other side, you can't have eternal life. You got to be able to make the right decision so God can be pleased with you and you can be able to live in eternity. And then, here goes the message I just gave you. Once you do that, you got to walk. You got to be active. You got to continue to beat down Satan. You got to continue to accept God's will for your life. Continue to do those things. But the thing about it is God going to help you. You just got to try. Try. Me and my son, every night before we go to bed, we listen to a song called Try. 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 That's what every we get into bed, he said, Daddy, can you cut on Try? And I love the song Try because it just tells us the heart that we have to have. He said, I don't want to live the crazy life. I don't want to pick the crazy one. I don't want to be the crazy guy who lost what I have inside. I don't want sinner's destiny. I just want what's best for me. So I got to take what's left of me, swallow my pride. At least I can make a sincere effort to be all that you call me to be. Amen. I just got to try. Get in God's kingdom. Love him. Do the very best you can. And then watch how he blesses you. You can do that right now as we stand. And sing the song of it.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world.